Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know where you hide your valuables, not that you would tell me, but do you have them in a pretty obvious spot, or do you keep them in a hidden spot? I came across this article on Facebook, and what it was do-it-yourself secret hiding places in your home, and wanted to share a few here. So this one is maybe where you can put a key, so rather than having the key underneath the doormat, maybe you can stick it in something like this, and this is maybe outside even, so maybe on your patio furniture. I thought that was kind of clever. I'm sure if I walked by that, I probably wouldn't think that something of value like a key would be hidden there. Or I thought this was kind of interesting where you have a bookshelf, but maybe you can put a jewelry box, or maybe you can put something that has a lot of sentimental value. Of course, this won't work so well if the person who comes to rob your house, if they come in and they're like, oh, maybe I'll sit here and read a nice book and start going through your library, maybe some Jane Austen, you know, I don't know, something to kind of relax a little bit. So if they start going through your bookshelf, maybe this won't work so well, but it's pretty clever. It looks pretty concealed. We have this picture where you have a picture frame and you slide it up, and then there's all this cash that's stowed away. And then the last one is something that's pretty clever here, where you got a garden rock, but you lift it up, and in a medicine jar we have a hidden key. So the point, you know, of this, and maybe you have something like this, where if you have something of value, you don't want to just make it so obvious because you're going to hide it, because you don't want someone to take it. Well, a couple thousand years ago in the Roman world, where the Apostle Paul was, and when he wrote to the Corinthians, that they would have done something similar. And that is that when they put their valuables, they would have put it either into like a woven basket, or even better, they would oftentimes put it in just one of the many clay pots that they have in their house. The reason for that is so when someone breaks in, that it's not like an obvious jewelry box, but instead that you just put it in something simple and really you're hiding it. And so Paul's then going to use that as a metaphor to say, hey, that's kind of like us in the gospel, that we're the clay pots who have this treasure hidden inside us. And so we're going to be going there today. And so why don't we take a look at our epistle lesson, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you have a Pew Bible, it's found on page 1144. Or if you have the Bible app, one of the many Bible apps on your phone or tablet, then you can use those as well. But just remember, no texting or no Snapchatting or anything. Just got to be on the Bible app if you do it. So that's our contract. All right. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 1. And in fact, if you want to keep it open after we're done reading these seven verses, because we're going to go to the last part at the end of our time together here. So keep that open. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is writing to people who were discouraged. And this is what he has to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not for us. Keep your Bibles open if you have it. But for now, I just want to go through what we just heard. So we just heard that we have this treasure in jars of clay. So what are we talking about? Well, we have this image, and that we are the clay jars. Now, if you think of ancient vessels or vases, You know, if you're like me, maybe you've been to a museum that would have had pottery or vessels from this time period. And this is what we typically have in museums. We have the really ornate, decadent, shiny, you know, beautifully painted, I mean, just real works of art, right? It looks like this is either from the Roman or maybe the Greek era. You know, something that would have been made with not just clay, but maybe something that would have been, you know, strengthened by fire or maybe something metallic, you know. But this is not really what Paul's talking about. We're not talking about something ornate and strong and pretty, but instead, what we talk about jars here of clay. We got to think not of that, but really more like this, where we're talking just the plain, ordinary clay jars. Now, not only are they simple, but I don't know if you've ever made clay or if you've ever worked with clay. You know, I know for our house, before we had a garden, you know, we would have some potted plants, so you get the little, you know, clay pottery. How many times does that break before you even really get to use it? Pretty easily, right? It just gets knocked over one, it cracks. Now, when it cracks, and you have your piece of pottery, do you go, oh no, and you run and get the super glue and you spend hours of your time trying to put that thing back together? Or do you do what all of us do, and that is just throw that away, go to Walmart, and for 49 cents later, you got yourself a new little clay pot, right? Well, not much different from today versus back then because it's the same thing. Now, maybe they didn't have Walmart for 50 cents, but regardless, that these would have been ordinary vessels that would have been used for daily activities, such as eating out of, drinking out of. If you need something larger, you go get water from it. And as you know, that clay is not a super durable material. And so it can break, and it oftentimes does. And then when it does break, you don't spend all your time repairing it. If it's gone, then it's gone, and you just replace it. You just make a new one. And so that's us. That Paul says, hey, you know, we're like these jars of clay, and we got to think that clay then would be ordinary, would be plain. On top of that, it would be weak. It would be something easily breakable, and it would be something somewhat disposable. And so, you know, it might seem like, well, that's not really the most flattering of analogies, but we're going to talk about, know that that indeed is a good thing. And it's good because why use clay pots? Why put treasure in clay pots? Well, it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier, why you might hide your keys under a rock or something. And the reason is because that way if a burglar breaks in, and if you have something really ornate looking, they're going to go, oh, I wonder what's in this nice big treasure box. But if you put your valuables under a rock, or if you put it in something that would just look ordinary, you wouldn't necessarily think of it. So it's kind of a strategy. And so Paul uses that as an image for us, that we are kind of like just the ordinary clay pots, but it's a good thing that we're this kind of fragile, ordinary pots, because that means that we get to have something of value inside us. He says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So, well, what is this treasure? So let's kind of explore this image that Paul gives us. The first is that we're talking about the pastoral ministry. The pastoral ministry is a gift to the church. It's a gift of a person who's been called, or groups of people who've been called to devote themselves really to you guys, to devote myself to the congregation, that I get to be in the ministry of prayer and study of God's word and to share God's word with you. And so really the pastoral office is not like this high above, hey, look at me, but instead it's a gift to the church for the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins. And so we're talking here, and Paul is talking, I think, pretty explicitly about the pastoral ministry. Because we say this in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, which we just heard. It says, therefore, since God's mercy, we have this ministry. We do not lose heart. And then in verse 5, he says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. So there's a couple words I want to point out in verse 5. First one is to preach. And so we're talking about the public proclamation, what we're hearing right now. So this is, the public hearing of God's word. So we have this preaching. And then also notice this word servant. You know, the word servant in Latin is minister, ministeria. So Paul's calling himself a preacher and a minister. So I think on the one hand, we really see how this is the pastoral office that is the gift to the church for the proclamation of the gospel. And that's the treasure that he's talking about. But I think also we can say it's the gospel. The second thing is we can maybe kind of narrow in, but what is it that preachers preach? Well, it's the gospel. And the reason why I say this, if you look in verse 6, he said, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." So we're talking about the work of Christ, which is what the gospel is. And so that this gospel has been filled in our hearts. You know, I mentioned earlier that other people, that they are purposely cutting themselves off from hearing about the gospel, but we're still going to preach this gospel. And it's God who has light shining out of our hearts, in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So it's the work of Christ is the treasure. Now, the third, though, is that I don't want you to get the impression and say, okay, well, this treasure, then, is just simply what the pastor does. Great. The pastor does it. I pay you to do the gospel so I don't have to. No, I think that Paul is talking about the office of public ministry, of public proclamation. But I don't think that it's limited to that. I think that not only is he talking about the preaching office of ministers, of servants to God's congregation, but I think that he's also has to include, or I think it would include, what we all do on a daily basis in our vocation. So if you have a family member call you in crisis and they are just hurting, that you then get to share the treasure that you have of Christ, that if they are apologizing to you, then you get to share the treasure of saying, "I forgive you." Or if someone is hurting, and then you get to share the treasure of saying, you know, God still watches over you. And they might say, "Gosh, I don't believe it. It doesn't feel like that. It seems like God has abandoned me." And you get to share the gospel, which is Christ does not abandon you. That he says on the cross, you know, "Father, why have you abandoned me?" But he doesn't abandon us. And so think of your vocations, of you being a family member, whether that's a mother or a father, maybe it's a brother or a cousin, or maybe it's at the backyard and you're just with friends or you're with neighbors and people are just saying, you know, I'm just not finding meaning in my life. And we get to share the treasure that we have and say, you know, you feel like a clay pot, don't you? Now, you don't want to say it in those terms, but you're going to say, man, you know, don't you feel kind of weak and easily breakable or broken? And don't you feel maybe you don't have much value? Well, that is kind of us, but we have something inside of us that is of value. And so I think that we have personal ministries, the way that we volunteer, the way that in our vocations that we get to share this treasure. I want to look in the rest of this, not the rest of the chapter, but the rest of our reading. And so let me read verse 7 again, since that's our theme verse. But 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that this life, his life, may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." And so What do we do with this? So as we just heard, that don't lose heart, that maybe you're feeling beat up, maybe you feel that you're broken or that you're crushed. You're crushed, but you're not destroyed. As a clay pot, you might have some cracks in it, you might have some holes, but you're not completely crumbled. Don't lose heart. Paul's writing this as a letter of encouragement, saying don't lose heart because, yeah, we're fragile. Yes, we don't seem to have very much value ourselves, but when we look at what we have in us, that it changes things. It changes our perspective. And so I want you to know this, that life itself, or at the very least, the sharing of the gospel, which is what we have in us, it's not really about me, that the ministry of the gospel is not valued by my works. Using this imagery, I don't think that the clay pot really adds too much to treasure inside. If you have a diamond necklace inside a beat-up clay pot, I don't think the clay pot's going to really add much to it. But it's the other way around, that the treasure inside adds something to the clay pot. And so we get to know that it's not about me. And so maybe if you're feeling beat up, maybe if you're feeling a little hopeless, and yeah, I think we can identify with not having, on the very outside, maybe we don't feel like we have much worth. But Paul wants to encourage us, and I can encourage you today, that God's word is here for you to say, no, that we are not abandoned. Yes, we might be scraped up, we might be cracked, but all what this is that we have this light of the gospel of treasure inside of us. Do you believe that? Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.